Welcome to Strong Heart Awakening. We teach you the classy and sassy way of attracting high caliber relationships into your life. I'm Jenny White, psychological therapist and relationship coach, founder of strongheartawakening.com and my program, the Strong Heart Awakening Academy, which is a school of high caliber relationships, standards, and boundaries. Let's go. Strong Hearts, welcome to another Strong Heart Awakening broadcast. My name is Jenny White. I'm the founder and creator of strongheartawakening.com and also the Strong Heart Awakening Academy, which is a school of high caliber relationships, standards, and boundaries. I'm also a psychological therapist and relationship coach. And I have today the brilliant and amazing model, and you might have seen her in the Netflix and Fox series Lucifer, and also at the mockumentary, and I have to watch that. I just found that yesterday. Mockumentary hashtag Black AF, and unfortunately, Facebook doesn't let us wear. So you know what AF stands for, right? And also, you have been also in the show This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central. Not only that, because you also have been a writer for one-woman shows. You've written a memoir, which is amazing. I can't wait to read that. It's called Reasonable Doubt, a memoir kind of. And you have also an undergraduate degree in musical theater from the UCLA. And of course, you have also a graduate degree in psychology from the Chicago School. So, and the most important thing, you're the proud owner of your amazing and lovely dog, Chai, who's also known as the Worm. So welcome. I'm super excited. Thank you so much, because you must be a busy bee. So thank you so much for coming on today. It's just amazing to talk to you and to really dive deep into the knowledge of Act As If. So thank you so much, Taylor.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for that introduction. I'm like, wow, I sound so put together.
You are.
So I'm going to have you just recite my resume for the future going forward. Instead of handing it on paper, I'm just going to be like, actually, my friend's going to take care of it for me.
I will do that. That's no problem. No problem. So it's really, really great, because, you know, my Strong Heart Awakening community, people come to me and say, I have problems with self-esteem issues, Jen. I can't get these lovely high caliber relationships. I can't talk to this dude or dudess at the bar. I can't even be myself. And sometimes we have problems. We get nervous. We can't display confidence. And you actors have this amazing talent of channeling roles and characters that you are not and playing them. So you know actually what Act As If is. And I thought, I really pick your brain on that, because that's what you do and that's amazing. So can you maybe share with us what you actors are doing? What's your secret sauce?
Yeah, so I think I love the idea of like using the Act As If principle in everyday situations. And I think maybe I have done a little bit of that my whole life without realizing, but when I knew we were gonna sit down today, I thought about it and I kind of condensed it into my like little theory, which is that essentially I believe that if you are born as a feeling human being, so you have the full range of human emotion, like you don't have a personality disorder standing in the way or something. Mm-hmm. When you are born with a full spectrum of human emotion. And because of that, there are parts of you that can identify with almost any feeling. So it's like if you're playing a role that's power hungry, connect to the part of yourself that wants to be recognized, that wants, you know, resources, money, attention, whatever that thing may be, because that part of you lives in there. So I think it's the same thing with faking it till you make it, or acting as if in terms of confidence. Like, there is a part of you in there somewhere that is confident. You were born that way. And you just have to tap into that and let that side come out a little bit, when maybe it ordinarily takes more of a backseat. But I do believe that it's in there. And because it's in there, you can access it. And so that's kind of the framework that the perspective from which I view these things. And then other actors that have a more like outside in approach, I'm such like a feeling inside, feelings, the crying, the feelings, you know. So I always approach from an outside or from an inside out sort of technique. But you're an actor who approaches from an outside in, and I live with one of those. Often, if you take on the behavior or the mannerisms of somebody that displays confidence, whether that's a character from a film, whether that's someone in your real life, or whether that's just your imagining of what a confident person might look like, sometimes just assuming the posture and assuming the behavior, feeling internally. So there's only two ways to go about it, inside out versus outside in.
Absolutely. And that's the part, isn't it? If we want to be a person, if we say, oh, we want to be a little bit more confident, it's already in us. So yes. Something, the yearn is there. If you are yearning for that, it's already there. And thank you for everybody for joining. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Brittany.
Hi,
Rebecca. So good to see you guys. Please feel free to share this up, by the way. And it's in us, like you said that. It's like people say, oh, is that not faking it? Yes and no. It's like maybe bringing it to the forefront and displaying it, right? It's like accepting that you can do it. So how do you, I mean, most of the time people come to me, how do you do it if you feel like nervous? Because you might have also some, I don't know if you ever had that stage fright or get nervous and think, oh, this role means to me lots and lots. Or I go to an audition and I really want to really nail it. So how do you deal with that? Because that's some form of resilience, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, I'm still working on that myself. Typically, the more I want something, the harder it is to calm the nerves. If I just don't care, I'm just like, eh, whatever. And the same goes for like social interactions or when I was like single, approaching people in bars, trying to get numbers, whatever. I was just like, eh, if you're okay, whatever, I don't care. But then if there was something I saw that I really wanted, I, you know, the clammy hands and the dry mouth and the sweating and like all of the things that can feel really, really uncomfortable in the moment. And I guess what I've found is you can hold space for two things to be true at once. Yes, you feel uncomfortable, nervous, fearful, and you can also put on, you know, a smile, raise your posture, strut over there and do your thing. Like, I think it's not necessarily like a pushing past of nerves or fear, but more just letting two things coexist in the same space. I feel two different things all the time. I don't know if you guys do, but I feel like I'm always feeling contrary things at once. It's like, I want this one thing and I don't want this thing. Or it's like, I'm, you know, cold over here and then I'm warm over there. It's always like two contrasting things battling in my head at one time. And I think that's okay. I think both things are allowed to be there, and you can maybe turn down the volume on one and turn up the volume on the other. And I also think, like, especially for handling like nerves and stuff like that, there are techniques that are much older than we are that address that very issue, like the deep breathing techniques, the anxiety management techniques that we can learn from a therapist, from a meditation course, from a yoga class. All of those things help too, because if you practice and practice in your body, oftentimes, eventually, you'll get it in your head, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, you're training a muscle, you become stronger, right? And you will feel uncomfortable. And of course, sometimes you doubt yourself, but you believe in yourself. It's like, what's not true? Doubt, believe, doubt. On some days, you're probably doubting yourself more than believing. And on other days, you're like, yeah, I nailed that. Great. It's just moving forward, right? And just becoming better. I like that. So really, I'm quite an emotional person, right? And it's just really to channel that and channel your emotions in the best possible way, to like not succumbing to anger, but really feeling, really transforming it into something that is beneficial for the people around me and for me. And it's also, of course, people are scared that they fail. So if you speak to the dude at the bar and say, hey, like, how are you doing? And your clammy hands and everything like that, or you are going to a job interview and you think, oh gosh, how do I do this? You will feel nervous because it means something to you. And that's great. Don't you think sometimes it's good to actually say, do you know what? That means something to me. Let me just compose for a moment, because that really means something to me.
Yes, because the alternative would be what? That nothing means anything to you? You'd be so bored. It's like a long life to have nothing have any meaning to you. So I always get, it's like a little thrilling to have something matter to you.
Mm. Absolutely. So how do you actually professionally deal with failure? That is also an interesting thing, because you go out there, you put yourself out all the time. And I know I have friends also who are models, for example, and they say, it's hard. You go out and they say, you're not our type. This is like, no, this is not, but what we want, you think, gosh, you're under a magnifying glass. And, but you get used to it in some way. You're not used, they describe of like telling me they don't take it personally anymore. So how do you deal with that professionally?
I really think that's, like you said, practice time and trial and error. Like, when I graduated with my undergrad degree and started working like professionally, like I said, I'm a sensitive person to begin with, and I'm still really sensitive. So like if somebody breathes on me wrong, it could hurt my feelings, you know, but then getting out into a professional situation where, okay, so I'll share this with you. The big thing with modeling for me is always my weight. Okay. I weigh quite a bit more than what we see in a magazine, right? Which is a particular body type that our country and most Western countries like to elevate, which is incredibly tall, like between 5'9 and 5'11, and incredibly thin, between 90 to 110 pounds. That's not what my body looks like. I know you guys can only see my head, but that is not what my body looks like, and that is not ever what my body is going to look like unless I'm willing to commit to seriously endangering myself by restricting food, which I that used to be part of my master plan, and thank God years in recovery later I have let go of that, right? But so I get rejected a lot on the basis of my weight. It is really hard not to take that personally, but at this point it's happened so many times that it's nothing I haven't heard before, and it's like, while I maybe had a meltdown about it the first, second, and third time, by the fourth and fifth I'm almost tired of melting down about it. Like, I had a friend that tried something for, he did it for like 6 months, and he recommended it to me. And I was like, hey, I don't know if I'm that brave, but maybe someday, or maybe on small scale. He experimented with this concept of what they call rejection therapy. So the idea is that you go out into the world and you put yourself in situations where you are likely to get rejected so that you can rip the Band-Aid off and get used to it. So it can be really small. From an example he gave was asking a person at the front of the line if he can cut in front of the line, right? Mm. Which even like him saying, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm like choking. That is terrifying. Or really asking for outrageous things and waiting for people to say no to you. And then sitting with the discomfort of those feelings, right? It's like, what's the worst that's gonna happen? Okay, if it was me, I get rejected a lot, so I will explain the physiological response that goes on in here. I start to feel lightheaded, my ears start to ring, I start to get tunnel vision, and I start to get like jelly legs, jelly arms. Like, I feel like my torso is cut off from like the rest of my body. That's a really uncomfortable feeling, and I really don't like it. However, it has not killed me. Nothing happened. I didn't collapse on the ground. I didn't, you know, I didn't catch on fire. So almost the idea of putting yourself out there to be rejected and then practicing sitting with the physiological response so that in the future, you're able to separate, you know, somebody making a comment about your weight from your worth, and it just becomes, oh, that comment triggers in me this physiological response that I don't like, instead of, oh my God, I'm disgusting, I'm unworthy, I'll never work, I need to starve myself, I have to XYZ. So like, I think part of what's helped me get through rejection is getting used to it. And if I break down why getting used to it is helpful, I think it's because I get used to the physiological response, and then I get used to the thoughts that come after it, and then it's just not that big a deal because I lived, you know?
Absolutely. It's like a muscle, isn't it? It's like letting other people reject you. Because if you think about that, we reject other people all the time too.
All the time. I am violently rejecting people in my mind all the time. I was like, I don't like how that person talked to me. Well, I don't like how that person didn't clean up after his dog. Well, I don't like how who am I? Like, authority on people walking down the street? No. So just, you're right. We reject people all the time.
All the time. All the time. And we need to allow them. It's actually free will, isn't it? It's okay. It's not your person then. But it's better to actually talk to a person, give them the chance to say yes to you honor to you. And often people, I think, misunderstand and think that a no is forever a no. And you probably know also actors who maybe backed a role where they maybe heard, oh, it's a no, but maybe got back into it. We don't know. So we don't know. So it's like, so act as if. So if you say, if you would like recommend something, what is really easy to channel those emotions and to really sit with these two aspects of, I want that, but I'm scared. So what makes you actually tip over to say, I do it, I can do it, I can do this role, no problem, I take it on? Because you hear that from actors. I find, mentioning quickly Gerard Butler, which is interesting. He was in an interview and he backed the role of 300, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he talked himself, he sweet talked himself through it. And then he said, he was saying in an interview, then I got the role, great. And then I thought, oh heck, I have to work out like crazy. And so he had to really work on it. But how do you tip over that you finally actually just go for it? What tips you over?
What's the tipping point? That's a really good question. I think, like, makes me think of this saying, and I don't know exactly verbatim, so I might paraphrase and hopefully not like butcher it, but something to the effect of like, at a certain point, like the risk of blooming becomes less painful than staying inside the bud, you know? Like, I think as human beings, we do want to expand and we do want more, and especially people that are tuning into the channel that follow your work, that are looking to improve their lives in some way, they're already most of the way there. I would say, if we're taking an example of acting as if in terms of confidence, how do you just, you know, decide, okay, yes, I feel afraid, yes, I feel uncomfortable, but I'm still going to keep moving forward. I would say, think about a time in your life when you did feel confident, because everyone's had one. And I can think, like, right off the bat, like, what mine is, and like, it involves alcohol, but it still helps me as, like, you know, because I was like, I feel amazing. Like, there is a story, this is like so embarrassing, but during my like my confident night that I always come back to in my mind, I was at my undergrad at UCLA and I had had like a couple of drinks and forever, I was just feeling, I was like feeling good about myself. And apparently what I said out loud to a group of people was, I am such a good idea. I am such a good idea. But you know, I was like stumbling. So I am such a good idea, Taylor, lives inside of there. And so I like to meditate on a time where I actually did feel confident. That's a very silly example of one. So then I know it's already happened and I know I can literally do it because I've done it before. And if I had done something before, I'm positive I can do it again. I'm positive that everybody can do it again. Once you do it once, you have the skill set, it's in there. So knowing that you've done something once is so helpful in pushing you over the edge. And then once you do get over the edge, like Gerard Butler's experience, you're like, oh God, oh no, what have I done? Now I actually have to do it. But then hopefully excitement of it will continue to move you forward. Like, there's momentum to that. There's momentum from you, you know, starting with a confident gesture, and that momentum will carry you through. At least that's been true in my experience. And I think for, I think that's probably true for almost everybody. There's like an inertia to putting yourself out there, and that will carry you along the way. Once you start, you're already kind of most of the way there. It's the starting that's the hard part.
Totally agree. You know what? It's so interesting that you mentioned that with alcohol, because that's actually in my community before when self-employed, I actually worked with people with substance misuse. I was the alcohol misuse specialist in my area. Yeah. So it's, and they came to me and said, but Jen, but only when I drink, then I'm confident. And we taught them actually, right, that might be the case, but this person is inside of you.
That person's already there, because all alcohol does is lower your inhibition, the boundaries you have around who you actually are. So a confident drunk person's in there, confident sober person has been living for years and years and years in there, or you couldn't access that when you, it makes me wonder like what our lives would be like if we were able to like voluntarily at any time completely remove like inhibitive blocks or walls that we put up like around ourselves. Like, wouldn't it be nice to just be like, oh yeah, like this policy wall. I don't need it. And then go forward. Like how much potential would we have, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? What's the worst thing that can happen? That somebody says no to you?
Yeah. And then you feel bad because, you know, you get tunnel vision and your ears ring and you feel sick to your stomach. And then that is what happens.
Regret is worse. I'd rather go through sweaty palms. And I have been such a nerd when I was younger. And I thought everybody else has sussed that out. We have a saying actually in Germany. And the saying is, everybody else is only cooking with water. That means we have the same. I quite like that. We have the same kind of tools. So it's like, don't think that we have some magic stuff there. We have to go through a learning curve too. So it's really interesting. And on one point I thought, I think I was 20 or something. I thought, sod it. I don't care anymore. I literally don't care anymore. It's like you just drop that. What's the worst thing that can happen? Not living. That's the worst thing that can happen. Not, you know, exploring yourself, isn't it? Not exploring what's possible. So have a look. Heidi, thank you for joining. Amanda, so good to see you. Thank you for joining. Thank you, guys. So it's like really, really interesting. So yeah, so you actually channel a version where you feel like I was confident. Yeah. And then what do you do with it? Do you magnify it? Do you bathe in it? How long do you do this? Every day?
I think about all the components of how did my body feel when I was feeling confident? What thoughts was I thinking? What was I wearing? Like, what was my hair doing? I will literally try to replicate the situation, because a big part of it for me, I actually had a conversation with a girl the other day, and she said something about, she said that I come off as really confident. And I was like, I love that you said that. That means that my acting as if is working. And she was like, well, what do you do? And I was like, honestly, step one, like if I really want to be confident, I do my makeup how I want it. And not for necessarily anybody else, but if you want to do your makeup so that everyone else in the world can see you, that's totally fine. I'm all for it. But for me, that's like a way to have creative control over a very small thing, right? And then, or, you know, like my nails are painted bright yellow. I want to look down and feel something. Like I'm like, okay, well, times I felt confident, like, oh, let me think when I was feeling confident recently. Oh yeah, like I had my hair in this killer ponytail and I had on my winged eyeliner and I, you know, was wearing this. And then how did I feel inside? Well, I felt really like serene that day. I had like nourished myself properly with like food and water, like really getting down to like the basics of how the stars aligned for me to feel confident in that particular moment. And then trying to replicate it, trying to reconnect to that, especially with like how my body felt, because there's like a sensation to confidence. You know, there's like a feeling, I don't know how to really describe it. And I certainly don't know how to describe it for other people. And I don't even really know how to describe it for me. There's like a sensation to it, you know, but I think people know it when they feel it and they're like, oh yeah, that thing, you know, name it, get to know the components of what was going on in your body, mind and spirit when you were feeling confident. And then I was saying something you said earlier, like in terms of at a certain point arriving at the conclusion that like, okay, rejection like sucks or whatever, but regret is worse. I completely agree, because rejection is a temporary, fleeting experience. Rejection is like a long-term, regret, a long-term that you revisit over and over. You think about it a million times. Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't. I didn't talk to my grandmother on the phone before she died. I can't believe I didn't do that. I can't believe I didn't do that. Versus a rejection is like, ow, ew, that feels bad. And I'm going to be upset for a finite amount of time. Regret can feel pretty infinite. And I don't think that's worth it. I think you got to like measure out the pros and cons. Like,
totally. So much. I totally agree. I mean, they've done studies on that, isn't it? They were asking people in old people's homes and also on the deathbed and said, what's one advice you would give somebody? Just do it. So yes. It's like a slogan from a very important brand we know, but it's just really don't have regrets. They regretted not asking people out, not going for the job, not going in travel, not trying things out. They regretted that. And if you are a certain age group, you might not catch up anymore. If you're not capable because you you know, your body can't do it anymore. It's just like doing that in the moment. And I like that rejection therapy. I like that just going out, just doing it as easy as that. Like you said, ask somebody if you can skip, you know, in the queue, anything like that. Start getting used to be rejected. And it's actually quite addictive. I know that people try that. And I said, like, let's try that dude on the bar. This guy there.
If you're a scientist, like you're running an experiment, like, oh, let's collect the data from this. Anything you can do to like depersonalize it. Like, it's not about you and about how you're not worthy or hot or super awesome. It's not about that. It's just like, okay, here I am. I'm a little scientist over here with my pen and paper, and I'm just gonna see how this technique works. Like, it does help me to depersonalize in that way. Be a little scientist running your little rejection instead of personalizing it.
I like that, experimenting. I use that always. I said that always in therapy. I said, let's do an experiment. Sounds better than let's change behavior. Then people are like, whoa, let's do an experiment.
I can't, yeah, no change behavior, cling, cling, cling.
No, that's me. And it's also, what do you think actually about faking till you make it? Because I believe nothing like that is really existing. Because if you have a look at the confidence model, the first one is displaying confidence. And we need that. It's like, I don't know, the dog whisperer, for example, not that we had dogs or anything like that. He was once saying he lifts sometimes the tails up from dogs and they feel more confident because it's one of these.
So funny.
We don't have tails, but
I love it though. That's so good. I lift up my dog's tail and be like, be socially better.
You have to, your spiritual tail, you have to lift, right? And just display it, because sometimes don't you feel like, I find that very important what you said. Maybe wearing something you feel really great in, or putting makeup on, and lots of people say, yeah, but I want that people love me for me. Yeah, but you radiate from inside out.
And that's so just
looking
one
after yourself. Right? Yeah. Looking after yourself is just a reflection of how you feel, right? So it's like, I don't like the shaming of like, these are beautiful people. Let's now troll them or something like that. No, it's just like really implementing that too. Looking after ourselves is important and it makes you feel better. So how you dress and how you, what you do for yourself carries also a certain form of confidence inside of you. So you're not expressing yourself. So why not going for something really nice?
Yeah.
Right.
And nice for you. I'm a firm believer that like putting on makeup or being creative with your clothing or whatever is definitely not a rejection of you. And it's not the real you. I think it's just a version of you that's maybe you expressing physically something that's going on in here. So like, I'm a big makeup girl. I'm from a family of like big makeup girls, you know, and we get our acrylic nails and we have our hair extensions and like, that's what makes us feel good, you know?
Right.
And, that is fun and awesome. And a lot of the time I look absolutely nothing like that. You know what I mean? I like, patter around in my little sweatpants and you know, shoes that are two sizes big for me and are all fluffy and slippery and weird. And like, and that feels like me too. You know what I mean? And I like both of those people. Just one is the more creative one when I'm doing all of this. And then one's like the more relaxed one.
Yeah, we have that. That's absolutely okay, isn't it? It's like really looking after and nurturing ourselves. Don't you think also the way we carry ourselves? So you can see this. Sometimes you see this in actors. You see them in a role and you think, wow, that's brilliant. And then you see them in real life and think, oh, nothing like it. They're totally different. It's like, how we want to implement something. And of course it's their job, right? So they portray a certain person, but you can look completely different with a different mindset, completely different.
Yeah.
You can see that, isn't it? So there's actually a chance, strong hearts, for all of you out there, there's a chance for all of us to be super attractive and super amazing just through mindset, because you will carry yourself differently. You will eat different foods. You will look after your body differently. You do different things.
Yes. So,
because people say, oh, no, they are born with this. Not like, hold on a moment.
No. No, no. No, no, no. Yeah.
No, it's really, really interesting. So what would you say to that? Because if you implement certain characteristics, you actually can see it in mannerism. Is there anything you do physically that you get into character, apart from the mindset and connecting with the emotions? Is there anything you do physically to get into a role?
Stretch. You know, because that's like the big one. And I say this from a person that literally hates stretching and is not a flexible person and is always griping about stretching. However, I have found that like really like warming up my body in that way makes it available for whatever feeling, energy thing is going to come up. I can't really generate or produce or let anything flow if I'm like crunched. So I do like to stretch. I know a lot of actors who, and this is true for singers too, who, you know, will get up first thing and go run on the treadmill before they have to go do something to literally warm up to get going, you know, so that you have the ability, you're all warmed up and your body's activated. And so then you're ready to, you know, either put on a physicality if you're outside in or to let a feeling come up if you're inside out. And that's been super helpful for me. Like I feel better, more like alive, more like a, you know, a functioning version of myself when I've moved around, used my voice, and like interacted with a person. So like if I have to get to set really early, I have learned I am a really late sleeper. Okay, I can't help it. Like for me, I'm like, oh my God, I had to wake up so early at 9 a.m. It was so hard. I've always been that way. Like my sister's like that too. Like something's up with us and the sleeping thing. But we, I have found that I'm going to be less effective on a set if I roll out of bed and show up there. You know, even though I'm going to do your hair and your makeup, if I haven't like spoken to another person or I haven't moved my body or I haven't, you know, interfaced with the world in some way, like I will always stop if I can and get a coffee. Yes, for the coffee, but also for the social interaction that I'm gonna get. That's just for me. I'm an extrovert, so I like need that to feel like but I also need to, I don't know, do like 30 jumping jacks in the living room before I show up and interact with anybody. Otherwise I'm just kind of a closed off kind of, it's helpful to like assume the posture of expansion, even if you feel a little internally crunched. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm
totally. Yeah, totally. Let's have a look. Amanda, this is awesome. Thank you, Jenny and Taylor. You're more than welcome, Amanda. Lots of love to you too. Arizona, if I remember right. Anna, thank you for joining. So it's like really, it makes totally sense because we need to move our bodies. Hey, I have people, you know, when they came in therapy with anxiety attacks, they come, Jen, that you would not believe. I said, okay, we don't talk through, get up. And they're, what are you doing? We've done jumping jacks in the therapy room to get rid of the cortisol. It makes totally sense because we are alive. In a pandemic now, yeah, when we sit down, when we get sluggish, we need to move. We can't be vibrant and alive if we don't move our bodies, isn't it? However you do it. Some people like the gym, some people like walking, climbing, swimming, dancing. Hey, I was a ballroom dancer when I was younger. So it's like that helped me too to really express myself. And it's vital. You feel alive. You feel like more confident in some kind of way. It's absolutely unbelievable.
I feel so inhuman, like when I'm just like crunched in my space and not moving and not going anywhere. I mean, that's why I think a lot of us experienced it in the first, especially the first couple months of the pandemic when we didn't know and we thought like COVID could jump on you if you were walking down the street. I mean, paranoid. I'm already like a hypochondriac. Let me tell you, I was just like, duh, I can't take my dog outside to pee because what if she steps on some COVID? You know, it's like, okay. We didn't know that. I didn't know that. So I felt I had a really hard time at the beginning of the pandemic. I kept saying like, I don't feel like myself. I don't feel like myself. I don't feel like myself. And I think a lot of that came down to not really moving around. Not moving around, not being outside, not having the stimulation of like what goes on in the world around us. And then not stimulating myself with physical activity or with, you know, mental. I just like checked out. I did like 30,000 pieces of jigsaw puzzles for the first like 3 months. That was literally all I did. I was like a compulsive, you know, like draw, and that's all I did. And I didn't want to answer the phone. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And it really did make me feel like I had no idea who I was. Like, I'm 31. I'm not like a young child who has just come onto the planet. Like, I know who I am, right? I thought. And as soon as I stopped moving my body, as soon as I stopped going outside, as soon as I stopped interacting with people, I suddenly felt like I had a totally nebulous identity, no idea who I was, had nothing to grab onto. It was very interesting.
It's so interesting, isn't it? So true. And that's, we're not meant to be, to sit on one spot. We're not. We need to walk. I mean, we need to also mingle with people. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert, an extrovert, or if you're a mixture of both of them. Some people are. It's so important. And this is like, again, yeah, people, listen to that. I said that before too. Move your body. If you feel you're stuck in your life, move. And I heard that from so many fellow coaches and therapists who say, okay, so I'm stuck in my head, on my computer all day long. Just move and move. And things become clearer. I mean, I have the beach here too. Sometimes I just go to the beach, sit there. Great, brilliant, great. It's a connection also, I mean, with nature. You are in Los Angeles. You have the beach available to you too, I would guess.
It's like right there. Hang on, and I'm from a small coastal town in California. The thought of being landlocked, I'm like, oh, God. Oh. People are like, oh, yeah, I went to the beach, but our beach is a lake. I'm like, oh, goodness, I don't know if I could do it. But, I mean, yeah, like you pointed out, having the beach is such a gift. Totally off topic right now, but just hearing you say that made me think like, oh yeah, I'm so lucky. I do live right by the beach. I should go today. I'm like,
Yeah, it's great. I'm so grateful. 15 minutes walking distance. Yeah, it's really great. We have that available to us. It doesn't have to be like, you don't have to go to the most expensive gym or something like that. If you can't afford it, if you can't go because we have lockdown, right? Or anything like that. You can go wherever.
Right, and I'm not talking exercise. I'm just talking like move. You know, like you don't have to go do like 30 push-ups. Ew, gross. No one wants to. Like you can just like get up and like go for a walk around the block, or just like jump around in your living room a little bit. I have to. Is constantly all through the pandemic, she's been hosting these virtual dance parties and it's awesome. And sometimes it's just her and she just like turns on the music and she's just like,
that's, you know, great.
Wild, crazy, dancing her head off by herself for an hour in her room. And she's like, I feel great now.
Yeah. I listen to music, dancing. It's like, really, that's what we do, isn't it? And the arts, like I said that before when we talked to each other, it's so important. Any arts, especially in the pandemic, people now come to me and said, I miss festivals. I miss to go to the theater. I miss go and I don't know. Right, we miss that. We yearn for it. Museums, we have like theaters closed, musicals are not playing, no festivals, no live music. It's like, wow. And that is so important for us. That part is so important for us. Artists are so important for our mental well-being. It is. The arts are so important. And I think a lot of people underestimated that or said, oh, this is just for fun. No, it's not only for fun. It's relaxing. It's chillaxing. It's like really activating certain parts of your brain that deals with the emotional part. It's important. So it's like working out. Yeah. And you must feel that. I felt like straight away, I thought, gosh, it's now a year. How do you deal with that? Right. It's like,
absolutely.
Yes.
Something we hear a lot as people who do the arts or perform for a living is this really pejorative thing that gets said, which is, well, you're not curing cancer. We hear that a lot. Okay. And it's like, well, nobody professed to cure cancer. And there are ways of doing good in the world that is not just curing cancer. Curing cancer is fabulous. May it be so. You know, I want that literally more than anything. But there are also very important industries out there and very important careers that have absolutely nothing to do with, you know, some huge medical intervention. Like we do help people. Consuming creative content as a child saved my life. As an adult, it's why I want to create it for other people. Like I was a kid that had major mental health problems really young. I had OCD terribly as like as young as 3 years old. So they were basically like, this is like a life sentence essentially. Uh-huh. It has been, you know, see your therapist, take your meds. I can't stress it enough, but like, storytelling was like kept me like connected to the world around me, kept me connected to myself. brought me joy, made me feel better, made me think about things differently. It's so important. And yes, it's entertaining, and yes, it's fun, and yes, it's a great, you know, going to the movies is such a fun thing to do on a Saturday night, but you know, for so many of us, it's so much more than that. The arts are so much more than that. And that includes like dance and theater and painting and movement and sculpture and like all photography, all of those things. Writing books.
Yeah. Literature.
Like Harry Potter was my life as a teenager. It was my life. And I remember going to Scotland to the coffee house where, you know, they have the bathroom that's dedicated.
Yes.
And I remember reading one of the notes on the stalls where a girl said, reading your book saved my life. I is something like waiting for each book to come out prevented me from committing suicide. And I was like, now if that isn't God's work, I don't know what is, you know.
It is.
It's so cool. And like, I hope that maybe this time has taught us to appreciate creativity in the arts even more than we already do.
Absolutely. And it's so many other stuff, isn't it? Where you say, I miss having people. I miss the coffee shop around the corner having open and I can sit inside or outside or talk to the people who serve me, right? So for some people, yes, that's important. And just, I know you work also with children together, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that it's important that we interact as a human being.
So important.
That we have the connection. So important. And that is, we think always that mental health or healing has to be super complicated. It's right. That super complicated solution. But we don't even get the foundation right. And like, look, what you taught us today or talked about today, how to act as if, that's a skill. That's important. That's a skill an actor has. That's a skill you can inherit too. As a human being, and you can learn from that. And that's amazing. So it's actually great to witness that. Do you think everybody can act in some form of way? Because there are, of course, people out there. They are professionals. I can't do it. They are trained.
Anybody can. Are you kidding me? Anybody can, because you've already done it before. If you think about it, if you've ever been in a situation where you had to behave in a way that was counter to what you were feeling, I experienced this a lot. At my survival job, I want to rage on people. And I do not rage. I say, thank you so much for your feedback. That right there, you know, I just did it right there. There was one thing going on inside of me, and I chose to turn down the volume and turn up the volume on another response that I would prefer to show to people. So it's like, if you have ever had a feeling and had wanted to say something or wanted to do something and you just paused and you did something else instead, that's the exact same skill. And like, I'll say too, so we talked like mentally or emotionally rather how to do it. We talked physically how to do it. And then there's an extra really component for me that I want to mention really quick, which is the spiritual component. Okay. So, spiritual beliefs are very individual. They're hard for people to describe, but I'll say for me, there is a collective of creatives up there in the universe, and I call them God, right? So a big part of my relationship with that God figure is trust. And I think that's a huge part of acting as if. Sometimes I just turn it over to my higher power and I just say, like, you take it. I'm really stressed about this audition and I don't know and I this and that. I'm having a hard time and my feelings are everywhere and I'm scrambled and I'm just like, please help me. You know, my two main prayers are help me and thank you. And I feel like that's just a really important component of it for me too, because when I feel like guided by some force outside myself, or protected by a force outside myself, I can handle things better. I think of the phrase that I have a mentor who always tells me this when I get upset about auditions, and she's always like, rejection is God's protection. That's what she always says to me.
I love it.
So true. And I'm just like, okay, thank you. Like, a big part of my confidence comes from trusting that something exists outside of me that has my best interest at heart. So that was just something I wanted to mention too. Of course, that's not for everybody, but for me, it's been really helpful.
I love that. It's true, isn't it? Oh, rejection is redirection. It's like, no, you have to go this way. This is not your person. This is not your job. We have something better.
Something else.
Better is available this way.
And sometimes that has to happen in a big way, because I can get fixated and I tend to not want to leave things alone. And so sometimes I literally feel that redirective force being like, leave it alone, get over there, get over there. You know what I mean? What are you doing? Quit. Like, get over to where I'm trying to point you, because there are things for you over there and there's nothing for you over there. So like, I think any way you can reframe the discomfort that comes with like rejection, because that's why we don't, that's why we're afraid of being confident, because we're afraid of getting rejected. I think those two things live together. So it's like, if we can minimize the fear of the rejection part of it, what's left is just like, I mean, you got nothing to lose.
No, and then you are actually in control. People say, oh, but I have no control. Yeah, of course, you can't control if somebody loves you, wants you, wants to book you, thinks you're brilliant. You don't. You can't just morph into somebody to just, you know, lots of people do this. They go into relationships and think, okay, I know they have a certain type or they like a certain thing. So I try to adjust and lose myself completely. That's not act as if. Act as if is used in a way that we are healthy and happy and do something that is inside of us. I totally, that's great. That's brilliant how you explained that, actually.
So thank you. I was like,
I totally get it. And it's, yeah, give it up, give it away.
Yeah, give it up and
whatever
see
you call it.
Just see what happens.
Yeah, just trust that life is not against you, it's for you. So it's like something, that's great.
What's happening is happening, not to you, but for you.
Yeah.
Reminded me of that. I need to write that down again.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Taylor, thank you so much. Is there anything, where can we follow you? Do you have any projects on the go? Can we follow you anywhere, anything?
Yes, please. You know that always, if you want to support the arts, you can always give us an Instagram follow. I hate to say it, but that's the direction the industry has gone. You can find me on Instagram at Taylor Murphy Sinclair. There's no hyphen in there because they don't let you have special characters. And so that's where most of my career stuff gets kept up with. In terms of projects coming up, really, really awesome film that I got an opportunity to be in. God, I guess we started production on it, or at least I started my portion of it last May. And we're just about to be in post-production now. Really amazing director, Frank Capello. If you guys saw the movie Constantine, he's the writer of that film. He wrote and directed this piece. It stars Chase Coleman and Anzu Lawson, if you're familiar with their work. And I get to be in there too, which is so exciting. So yeah, follow me on Instagram and keep your eyes peeled for The Womb. And I appreciate you so much.
That's, do you know what? You are such a star, literally, to share that with us. I just have a look, so many people. Sherry, thank you for joining. Interactions with others require energy. Yes, absolutely. Caitlin, thank you for joining. So I'm having a look. Gosh, so many comments, right? I come definitely back to the comments after that. And I will also drop your Instagram link. And is there a link for, sometimes they do, if they're in pre-production or something like that, they have sometimes like, do they have a web page or do they have like a Facebook page where we can follow how far that movie's gone? I think they have probably.
If you Google and search, I can actually find you a link. I don't see what Frank has up, but if you search The Womb 2021, you'll be able to find it. IMDb, I believe we have an IMDb page up. I should actually look before I.
It's okay. I will look too. And I'll put that down.
Your end.
So I'll follow you.
Find it.
Yeah. That's perfect. Taylor, if you have one more like wisdom nugget to share, what would you share with the Strong Heart Awakening community? And we would love to have you back if you ever have time again.
Absolutely.
Maybe talking about that. That would be brilliant. So any wisdom nugget, anything you would like to just say?
like to leave you all with. I mean, I guess I'll sort of just repeat it again, that if you're tuning into this kind of content, that if having a better, more compassionate, more fulfilled life is important to you, you're already halfway there. So like the confidence lives in you. Keep going, keep trying. Like, I believe in you.
Yeah, we believe in you. Did you hear that? That's great. Taylor, thank you so much. And thank you for everybody. And please give Taylor definitely a follow, share this broadcast app. And I will drop later on also in the comment section and answer your comments. And if Taylor wants to do it, more than welcome, you can do it too. And have the most amazing day wherever you are in this world. This was Strong Heart Awakening with Taylor and Jenny. And have the most amazing day. TTFN. Ta-ta for now. If you love our Strong Heart Awakening podcast and you got any value out of it, could we ask you for a favor? Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. That would mean so much to us and would help us to reach even more beautiful souls. We totally appreciate you and wish you the most amazing day wherever you are in this world. TTFN, ta-ta for now.